I started this last week, and what we're talking about is the high priest of our confession. Jesus is the high priest of our confession. This week, we're going to be talking about what I call the battle in the heavens. The battle in the heavens. We're taking our text out of Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1, and it reads like this. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. Everybody say profession. Now, the first point that I made last week was that profession and confession are the same thing. Profession is an older English word. We don't use it much today anymore, but it was used often in the King James Version of the Bible, which I happen to be partial to. I tend to use it a lot, which is the only reason why I'm even mentioning this, because it might come up in other verses that I show you the word profession. But if you see that word profession, just understand that it means the same thing as confession. It's a synonym for the word confession. It's just an older English word for it. Now, we see this evidenced in more modern translations where this word profession is rendered confession, like in the New King James Version, which reads this way for Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus. Everybody say confession. Number two, we stated that confession comes from the Greek word homologio. Now, homologio, according to the Strong's exhaustive concordance lexicon, means to speak the same thing as another. So the word that's translated as confession here, or as profession, comes from the Greek word homologio, and it means to speak the same thing as another. Number three, we ascertained that the writer here in our text was referring primarily to the office that Jesus holds, not Jesus himself. In other words, he was focusing our attention on the office or the ministry that Jesus does more than the person himself, although one could make the argument that the two are inseparable. Now, I'm not going to go through the scriptures on this that I did last week because I want to get into today's lesson, but I brought up from Leviticus 26 the first fruits offering. And in the first fruits offering, you would give that into the hand of the priest, and then it says, then shall you profess before the priest all that God has done for you. And the high priest acted as mediator for the sacrifice and mediator, forget this, the confession. Confession. So this is what the writer is referring to in our text when he says Jesus is the apostle and high priest of our confession. Jesus has a current function as the high priest, mediating our confession. In Hebrews chapter 8, verses 1 through 3, he spells this out for us. Now, of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such an high priest, who is set at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices. Wherefore, it is of necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. Well, what is that that he has to offer? It's our confession. Then we went to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit. That's a reference to the first fruits. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Now, just in case anybody thought that maybe I was stretching this scripture a little bit, I showed everybody that the words here, giving thanks, are incorrectly translated in this verse. Those two words, giving thanks, are translated from one Greek word. And guess what it is? homologio, confession. And then we wrapped it all up with the scripture we ended with last week. We wrapped it all up and put a bow on it with Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 and 33, where Jesus said, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven." Now, who does John say that Jesus is in John chapter 1? The Word. Jesus is the Word made flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In verse 14, "And the Word became flesh." So, when Jesus said, "Whosoever will confess me before men," what He's saying is, whoever will speak the same thing as the Word before men. Because remember, confess means to speak the same thing as. "Whosoever shall speak the same thing as the Word before men, him will I speak the same thing as before my Father which is in heaven." Well, that's powerful. That's powerful. That's good news. "But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven." Well, that's easy to understand. Paul told Timothy, if we deny him, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Isn't that right? So if you want to say something out your mouth that's contrary to the Word of God, be my guest, but Jesus ain't going to repeat it. But if you want to speak the Word out of your mouth, if you want to confess the Word, Jesus will repeat that before the throne of God. So now that we set this foundation from last week, Luke records this statement of Jesus in Matthew slightly differently than Matthew did. So we're going to jump over to Luke, and we're going to see how Luke said it. Luke chapter 12, verses 8 through 9. "Also I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. But he that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God." So we see he's saying the same thing here that he said in Matthew, only here he mentions the angels. You see, when you speak the Word of God, Jesus takes that, mediates that confession, places it before the throne of God. But God the Father is not the only person there. There's multitudes of angels before the throne of God. Did you know that? Do you know that you have angels assigned to you? Do you know each of us have angels assigned to us? You ever hear the term guardian angels? We're all assigned angels. Matthew chapter 18, you'll remember this, I'm sure, when I start to read it. "And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them, and said, Verily or truly I say to you, except you be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you, that in heaven their angels," everybody say their angels, "do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven." Who's he talking about here? Kids? No, he's talking about those that are converted and become like little children. He's not talking about little children. He's talking about those that become converted. When you're converted, when you get saved, when you become an heir of salvation, you get a grip. You get a grip of angels assigned to you. How much is a grip? A lot. I figured it was better than a gaggle of angels. But notice he said angels, plural. He didn't say angel. Remember Jesus, this isn't in my notes, but remember Jesus said, "Know ye not that I could call 12 legions of angels?" I know this is a hard pill to swallow to some religious minds, but you know, Jesus, God doesn't love Jesus any more than he loves you. He loves you just as much as Jesus, or he wouldn't have had Jesus die for you. If 12 legions of angels were available to Jesus, 12 legions of angels are available to me and to you. So why do the angels hang out in the throne room? Well, besides it being a pretty cool place to be, I imagine, they're there waiting for instructions. Psalm 103, verses 19 and 20. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of what? His word. So who are the angels listening to? Jesus, the word of God. And what's Jesus saying? He's saying what you're saying. If you're confessing the word, then Jesus is saying what you're saying. You see, the angels have an assignment, and that assignment is to minister the provisions of the covenant for those that are heirs of salvation. To minister the provisions of the covenant for those that are heirs of salvation. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Are you an heir of salvation? Then the angels are sent to minister for you. Not to you, but for you. You see, we are the body of Christ. We, the church, are Christ on this earth today. The job of the angels is to service the provisions of the covenant on our behalf, but they get their marching orders from Jesus, the living Word of God, seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven. He is our intercessor, our mediator, our high priest, the high priest of our confession. And he is seated at the right hand of the Father. When we speak the promises of God out of our mouth in faith, Jesus takes our confession of faith and puts it before the throne of God and the angels of heaven. This puts the angels to work in our behalf, bringing to pass the promises and provisions of the covenant in our lives. I want to stop here just for a second, and I want to say something. This isn't magic. This isn't voodoo. This isn't a pyramid scheme or a get-rich-quick scheme. What we're talking about is the Word of God. Now, this isn't in my notes, but I just want to say this for a minute, because sometimes people get the wrong impression when you're talking about faith. Faith works like a seed. You don't plant a seed today and reap your harvest tomorrow, do you? Do you? No, you plant a seed, you water it, you take care of it. And in a process of time, that seed yields a harvest 30, 60, 100 fold. Isn't that true? Jesus said, first the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. It's a process. This isn't magic. This isn't, I'm going to say I'm healed, and tomorrow I'm just going to be just fine. Now, not that it can't happen that way. It can. But more often than not, faith is a process. You understand that, right? It's a process. We start something, and we stick it through, and we watch the seed sprout and grow up. Jesus said the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seeds. But when you plant it, and it begins to grow up, it becomes one of the largest herbs of the garden, almost like a tree, and the birds of the air come and nest in it. Isn't that what he said? That's how the Word of God works. That's how confession works. I don't come to church one day and say, the wealth of the sinners laid up for the just, and walk out the door a millionaire. I wish it worked that way. So you understand, we're not talking magic here. We're not talking voodoo. We're talking about faith. Confession is a lifestyle, not a one-time event. Confession is a way of living. Now, like I kept saying, back to my notes here. Like I kept saying last week, this is not something new. That is, the work of the angels isn't something new. I'm going back to that now. This isn't something new that started with Jesus or that started with the New Testament church or the apostles. This has been going on since the beginning of God's covenant with man. And I'm going to show you what I'm talking about. Genesis chapter 28. But Jacob was the grandson of Abraham. How many people have heard of Jacob? Abraham, if you remember, was in a covenant with God. And that covenant was to be passed down to Abraham's descendants. Well, Jacob was the second generation. Abraham had Isaac, and Isaac had Jacob. Well, Jacob was heading out to Haran to find a wife. Verse 10, Genesis 28 says, "And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he stopped at a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed. And behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending upon it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, How dreadful is this place! This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. Well, of course, he misjudged that because the place wasn't holy. The angels weren't there because of the place. The angels were there because of him, because he was the heir of the covenant, of Abraham's covenant. Now, if he could have seen in the spirit realm, that ladder was following him around wherever he went. So what was going on here? Well, Jacob dreamed and saw into the spirit world. He saw the angels of God ascending and descending from heaven to earth, and God basically told him that they would continue to do this until God had completed everything that he had promised him, that he had spoken to him about. These angels were the enforcers of God's covenant with Abraham and his seed. Jacob, as the grandson of Abraham, was the heir of those promises. Therefore, the angels were on assignment in Jacob's behalf. Now, everybody knows that Jesus was a descendant of Abraham also, right? Of the tribe of Judah, descended through the line of David. So Jesus would have had this same access to the angels, would he have not? Through the covenant, through God's covenant with Abraham. Jesus said as much when he spoke to Nathanael. John chapter 1, verse 47. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, and saith of him, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael said unto him, Whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said unto him, Because I said unto you, I saw you under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he, Jesus, saith unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. So here Jesus references that same ladder. And Jesus also, it's just how beautiful the scripture is, in describing this, Jesus doesn't use the term Son of God, but Son of Man. Why? Because Jesus wasn't ministering on earth as God. He was ministering as a man under the Abrahamic covenant. So he was saying, hey, what you're going to see is angels ascending and descending on me. Why? Because I'm walking in the covenant of Abraham. So who is Abraham's seed today? And who are the heirs of the promise today? This is elementary. I'm sure everybody here knows this. But in Romans chapter 2, verses 28 and 29, Paul said, He is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. Everybody say, I am a Jew. Say, I am an heir of God's covenant with Abraham. In Galatians chapter 3, verses 27 through 29, Paul makes it even plainer. He says, For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise.